Food. The news and the reviews.
So Monica from Food News, she's off on her holidays, having a wonderful summer. But we want to give you a little listen to some of our favourite Monica reviews and revisit a couple of the restaurants that she's looked at for us over the last year or so. Zara is actually popping back up in these clips.
Oh, it'd be nice to hear her.
Yeah. And we're going to start with a restaurant that she visited around a year ago.
That's Monica's
Groove.
Where
are we going
Monica's
with this music?
Groove.
Yeah. Kenya Yetu. So Kenya's in Africa. We're actually heading all the way to the continent of Africa for our first meal. I didn't know about this restaurant, and I was surprised because I think some of the listeners and you guys may know that my husband's from Kenya, and you know there is this saying that you can take the man out of Kenya, but you cannot take Kenya out of the man, and I think that's sort of very much the case with lots of Kenyans who we've come across living in Dubai. So they love all things African, and I was really pleased to have found this restaurant. Now, I have to be honest with you, African food is not at the top of my kind of, you know, eating out agenda, so I was a little bit skeptical.
What is African food when you say African food?
Exactly. Well, what do you think African food is?
I would say a lot of meats.
Yeah, loads of meat.
They are keen on the non-vegetarian stuff, but I can assure you if you're vegetarian, there would be things that you could eat and you could sort of have a nice meal there because, as you know, I don't eat beef and I said that to them beforehand. So they had, if you eat seafood, it really does help a lot because we had a couple of really nice seafood dishes in this restaurant called Kiza. Now, do you know what Kiza might mean? Kiza means black, but it also means community. It means black, I can't remember in which African language, there's lots of them. So what's interesting about this restaurant, apart from the food, is they want to sort of showcase more than just the food of Africa. They want to showcase the fashion, the culture, you know, what Africa is all about. And they want the restaurant Kiza, which means black and it means community, to be a platform whereby they can do all of this.
Restaurants have to do that now, I think. I don't think they can just survive anymore on just doing the food.
Yeah, but I mean, the African whole African culture thing is sort of very vibrant and colourful, and it kind of, I think it lends itself sort of very well to that. It's in DIFC. And
I wasn't expecting that.
No, me neither.
The location.
The location,
me
yeah.
neither. Not in the very posh part of DIFC, as we know to be Gate Village. But I know you've been to Mintleaf, haven't you, Steph?
Yes, I have.
So do you know what building that's in?
The one with a little tube that runs through the middle, I want to say.
Tube that runs through the middle. I don't know about that. Oh, I understand what you mean, connecting the two. Yes, yeah, so it's Emirates Financial Towers, opposite the Warwick Hotel is where we are. And Kiza's on the ground floor. And then if you want to go to Mintleaf, you'd sort of go in and go kind of onto a much higher floor on the lift. So that might put it into context. But going back to the type of food, I really like the prawns. There was prawns piri piri, which is sort of like a sort of spicy kind of prawn dish. They have a very, very African vegetable called skumawiki, which effectively I just think is kale. Now, these guys knew about the benefits of kale and how good it is for you long before it became trendy and a mainstay in sort of lots of vegan and vegetarian restaurants.
My parents did as well. I used to be forced to eat kale when I was a kid a lot.
We never had it. Not in my house, no.
I'm amazed that other people have just found it. I avoided it for years.
No. It's good. And it's a big part of the sort of staple food that they have there. I had a very, very good tilapia fish there that's also sort of I first had in Kenya. Very, very good.
What's a tilapia fish?
What is a tilapia fish? It's a fish that I had in Kenya. I don't know how would you describe
it's called
bass
a tilapia
fish? Done very white, a kind of white fish, done whole, and it had some very interesting spices on it. You can have it in all different ways, but quite often it's fried in Africa is where I've had it.
I knew you'd answer that question yourself if I just left you to it. How do you describe a fish?
Yeah. And the good thing is, if you're sort of not sure, like I wasn't sure about African food, you can go and try them for business lunch. So they've got a meat option, a seafood option, and a vegetarian option, where you can kind of go and try little bits of food. How much do you think that would be? A DIFC restaurant, newish restaurant,
like a taster plate.
Yeah, but you'd have a proper meal. I mean, portions are generous here, you know, they do believe in feeding you.
Ooh, a lunchtime special,
100 dirhams.
I'm gonna say 94.
Try 40.
So even that's if you not good come out, not bad
at all. So even if you come out thinking that's not for me, you've dropped 40 dirhams. That's not bad. And I think you'd think I
could actually, you share that?
I don't know, we ordered what we wanted a la carte, but I mean, why would you want to share it for 40 dirhams, right? That's very tight, isn't it?
I love that.
And the other thing that I had, which was a Ghanaian thing, which is quite new for me. It was Ghanaian street food, and you would like it being vegetarian, and so would Zara, but she's not here. And it's sort of like a plantain, like a sort of fried banana, which they served with peanuts.
Nice.
And it's a snack food, which you could have in the evening, or you could just have, you know, if you sort of wanted sort of something light. And I really like my mango salad as well. So, yeah, I think you should go try it. The business lunch is very reasonable if you're not sure about African food. But they also have a happy hour. I think it's from 4 till 8 o'clock, which is amazing. It's three beverages, big plate of chicken wings, no veggie option yet, 99 dirhams.
So that's Kiza, an African restaurant in DIFC for you.
Getting into some food news in a restaurant with a very unusual name called Wise Kui.
Kwai.
Food. The news and the reviews.
Do you know what kind of cuisine it would be from that name, Wise Kwai?
Thai?
Yes, Thai. Very well done. So Wise Kwai is actually a film critic. We were talking about Bollywood cinema earlier. I don't know what we'd call Thai cinema. Maybe not Tollywood, because that's from Bengal or something, but Thaiwood or something. So this restaurant is completely themed around Thai cinema. And I'll show you. Well, you can't really see the menu here, but you could take a picture. And there is the menu. It's a work in progress.
It's like an old movie poster.
An old movie poster, exactly. And you walk in and you think, wow, this is the most funky street kind of Wise sort of menu. And Wise Kwai is a film critic, very well known in Thailand, apparently, and they've named the restaurant after him. We went in there and we had lunch. I have to say, I don't think they're quite ready yet with the whole food offering. So I would genuinely suggest maybe waiting a couple of weeks before you go in for food. But what I did have, which I liked a lot, and I am so not a mocktail person, they just sort of brought us some drinks, and my heart usually sinks when I think, oh my God, like coloured drinks, this is just not me, and you're wasting it, and don't bother. But this one I really, really liked, so much so that I would order it again. And I liked the name of it. It was called a Tom Yum Teeny. So after a light martini or something, they're calling it Tom Yum Teeny. They've got one called a Taihito after a mojito, a Taipirinha. So it's quite clever the way they've done all these things.
And it sounds a little bit Smiling BKK, if you don't mind me saying.
It's nothing like Smiling BKK, no. And the Tom Yum Teeny had in it galangal, which is Thai ginger, chili, kaffir lime leaves and lemongrass. And it was in a proper martini glass, looked like a martini, and it had salt around the rim, a little kaffir lime leaf and a piece of red chili. And there's a beautiful picture on the thing on doindubai.com on the radio thing. So I thought that was very, very nice. It's got a lot of potential, very, very funky, interesting design. Isan food, I don't know if you know about that, which is northeastern Thailand. Zara maybe knows about Isan food.
No
type of Thai food.
A lot of head shaking going on in the studio right now.
So I'm going to go back there when they've completely sorted out the menu, and we'll come back and talk about the food. But any idea where it might be?
Oh, I'm going to guess.
Location-wise, it's on a hotel. It's in a hotel. No, you're kind of in the right area of Dubai, but not down
Jumeirah.
The Palm. No.
Media City.
No, you're kind of getting warmer. Well, I put you out of your
misery. GLT.
So it's an area that has recently been renamed.
Barsha Heights.
Well done. Aww. It's Barsha Heights, absolutely. Which used to be called TCOM, and I still know it as TCOM. I don't know why they've renamed it Barsha Heights.
Whether it's way classier.
Way classier, right? Sort of like, what's the American thing, something Heights? Pacific Heights. They're probably thinking Pacific Heights, Barsha Heights, TCOM. I don't know how that evolution happened. But so it's in Barsha Heights, in a very, very smart hotel called the Dusit D2 Kens Hotel. So the Dusit obviously is connected to the Dusit, you know, the one that we have on Trickside Road. So the Dusit D2s are the more contemporary, modern, smarter versions of the hotels. Very, very nice hotel. And on the ground, so this Thai restaurant, Wise Kwai, is on the first floor or second floor. And on the ground floor is a very, very Instagrammable restaurant called Ostro, which is sort of Mediterranean. Lots and lots of noise on the blogosphere. I've gone in there. Beautiful. If you want perhaps your wedding reception, Zara, that's the place. It's so pretty.
Now it's going to be at Ravi's.
It's going to be at Ravi's, right. Okay. I haven't eaten there, so we will go back and tell you what that's like. But that's a new place if you're in and around there to check out. A very pretty place.
Sounds cool.
It does. And Zara did have her hen night at Ravi's.
Ravi's, not the wedding reception.
She had a great time.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Said it was amazing.
Yep. So we're giving you another listen to the best of Monica, who is our food reviewer from doindubai.com. And next up is one that Monica was very impressed with earlier this year.
I didn't go and do a review. I didn't tell them that we were coming or anything. Just took my dad, who's staying with us at the moment, who's 86, and my husband. We went along for Friday lunch, and we really, really liked it. It's a place, I don't know if either of you have heard of it, called Grub Shack.
No.
I like the name.
It's a very nice name, and I think you'd really like the place, Mark. Grub Shack, it's in Healthcare City, which is an unusual place to have it. We found it. It was very nicely buzzing on a Friday with sort of families, a mix of different nationalities, and it's got sort of proper Goan food, other Indian food as well, and also Chinese dishes. Now, I called up the owner yesterday. He wasn't there when we were there. Fantastic name. His name is Mario Mascarenhas, but his business card, which is here, is even more fantastic. Look at that.
Oh, sometimes
people it's like a light bulb.
It's a black light bulb with gold gilt writing on with the name of his company and his name and all his contact details. So they said, here you are, here's the owner's contact details. And I called him up yesterday and I said, tell me, how was Grub Shack born? Tell me about this restaurant. So it's the second branch of this
go in restaurant Grub Shack. The first one was in Sharjah. I think it was a very, very small branch, kind of mom and pop type business that they opened. And this one is much bigger, much more successful. And I think there are plans even to open a third one that will be licensed. So this one isn't licensed, but don't let that put you off. Go along and try the food. And I said, you know, how did it come about? And he said, well, when I was, my wife and I were sort of in our early courting days, etc. I think they lived in Mumbai. And people, I didn't know this, I looked it up, instead of flying from Mumbai to then Bombay to Goa, they drove. It's about 500, 550 kilometres, lots of which was done on motorbikes and Harley Davidsons and all the rest of it. And
what
it's
an
one
adventure.
Of these classic, I think it's NH17, National Highway number 17.
I've driven it.
Have you?
Yeah.
And do you know what, Monica? We did the drive down from Mumbai to Goa at night.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
then we did the drive back during the day. And oh, I'm glad we did that first drive at night, because you kind of go over the mountains and it is scary.
Scary,
yeah,
oh gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, give me a spice jet any day.
Yes,
I'm not going to get on the back of a Harley Davidson. So he said, along the way, you have a lot of these Indian Chinese type joints, and you're nodding your head here, Zara.
Yes, I remember these.
And he said, we love these. And, you know, we thought, you know what, one day we're going to take these dishes, combine them with our sort of love of Goan food and traditional Indian food and the street food and all the rest of it, and put it together in a restaurant. And that's what they've done very successfully, I think, in Grub Shack, quite reasonably priced. A dish that I had and I really liked was called Rashado prawns. So Rashado is a sort of very typical Goan preparation. It actually means stuffed in the Portuguese language. And it's a very spicy, as Zara was saying, sauce made with Kashmiri red chilies, tamarind to make it sour, and vinegar as well. Mm. And it's a very specific sort of Goan kind of sauce. They were about 70, 75 dirhams, and I want to say probably the most expensive thing in the restaurant. So we're not talking about a very expensive restaurant. Go along, try all the different things. I think we tried something called chicken chakuti, which again is a very Goan thing, the Rashado prawns, and I think they had lamb chops. And what was interesting was each one tasted very, very different and very specific. So I like that. Again, it's a nod to something that's authentic and it's good.
Did you try anything vegetarian on the menu? Because I'm struggling a bit now, if I'm being honest, to find anything that's authentically Goan but still delicious.
Yes. Okay. Well, I don't know about authentically Goan. They've got a little bit of vegetarian food on the menu. There's obviously lots of the Chinese vegetarian variety. Didn't appeal massively to me. But a little tip is, if you go for the bhindi, which is the okra, the lady's fingers, they've got two preparations on the menu: masala bhindi and fried bhindi. We opted for fried bhindi, but didn't get anything like what we wanted. And I said, no, I want fried bhindi. So he said, oh, you have to have bhindi nurani. And of course, what came was my lovely deep fried bhindi. There's a great recipe for it, actually, on doandubai.com. And that was great. And I said, but you haven't got it on the menu. And he said, no, sorry, you know, but that's what you want, isn't it? And it came, so ask for that, and they will give you that. Or go for the more Chinese-y options. And there was paneer and things like that. So you'd be fine.
Mm. Okay.
But the other thing that's very interesting, they've got a whole setup for a band as well. So they have live music some nights as well. And, and going back to Mario, he said, you know, we wanted this restaurant to be like our home. So if you came to our home, I would be playing the guitar, I'd be playing some kind of music, doing some sort of little gig there. And my wife would be in the kitchen cooking you some really amazing food. So, of course, it's not him playing the guitar and it's not her in the kitchen. But their vision, if you like, has come
true. That's the atmosphere that they want to create.
And that's what they've done. It's a very funky restaurant, very comfortable.
What's the location
again? I would go there again. Healthcare City.
Right.
Yeah. And if you wanted to have some beverages beforehand, my idea would be to go to the Hilton, the Hyatt, Park Regency Park, Creek Heights Hyatt. We spoke about La Tablita here, and have a few drinks there, which is in Healthcare City. Very nice modern restaurant. Go to the La Tablita bar and then go along afterwards to eat really good Goan food.
Sounds nice, doesn't it? I like that plan of going to the Hyatt first.
Yeah, me too. I do like a night out that doesn't just involve one stop. It's quite good, isn't it? And I love Goan food.
I've never tried Goan food.
Have you not?
No, I don't. I don't think I have anyway. No.
Do the most incredible fish curries.
Do they?
So good. I've just been stalking Monica on Facebook to see where she is.
What's she doing? She was in a market the other day. That might have been earlier today. Is she buying some pink flowers?
Masai Mara I've got here in Kenya.
Okay.
And
she gets around a bit then.
She was on a really small plane. Like one of those tiny, tiny little planes that's only got about four seats on it.
I saw her in a London market, something a bit like Petticoat Lane, buying some flowers.
Was that on Instagram or was that on Facebook?
Facebook.
I wonder if I've got as much friends access as I think then. Because I've got her here at a place called Little Governor's Camp.
Right. Let me do some checking. Let me do some checking.
Food. The news and the reviews.
So Monica, our foodie from doandubai.com, is off on her holidays, but it doesn't mean she's forgotten. She has reviewed some fantastic restaurants for us over the last year, so we wanted to throw back at you a couple of the good ones, the ones that we liked. And I'm a big fan of breakfast, so always love it when Monica throws one of those in.
I went to this thinking, okay, they've invited me, they really want me to go. I've kind of been putting it off because it actually launched late November and it just got delayed and delayed and delayed with all the festive stuff. And I thought, okay, come on. And I took my husband, let's go and do this breakfast in bed thing in Emirates Towers. Now, if I said to you, where would you find Paris in Dubai? Where might you sort of say... It's not an unusual question, is it, for Dubai?
Where would you find Paris in Dubai? The Alliance Française?
Global Village?
Global Village, yes. I was thinking along those lines. Or Falcon City of Wonders, or one of those sorts of theme park-y type places. Obviously, Alliance Française, but that's kind of, quite serious. So this time we're in Paris in the Emirates Towers, in Jumeirah Emirates Towers Hotel, at a restaurant called La Cantine du Faubourg. I think it's been open for about a year. Mm-hmm. And this is a new brunch concept that they've come up with. Mark, Zara, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. If I had to take someone out who was visiting Dubai, or we needed to go somewhere for a sort of special occasion. So, for example, Valentine's coming up. Forget the Valentine's thing. Just go to this one because it's really, really nice and it ticked all of my boxes. So has anyone been to La Cantine du Faubourg or heard about it at all?
No, this is a first.
I see a lot of posts about it on Instagram. Like you said, usually my friends or people I follow going there for a special occasion.
Special occasion, yeah, absolutely. I think so. And I've not been that enamoured by it, and I just sort of haven't been tempted to go. So let's talk about this deal that they have. It's on Saturday, every Saturday, from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. Now, that's the first thing I like about it. It's a brunch that starts at 12 o'clock. So for me on a Saturday, that still could be breakfast time. I can just get up, have like a little fruit juice or something small, get up late and then go. So the first set of things that you get on the menu are all egg dishes, egg preparations. But what's very nice, we had something called eggs royale to begin with. So it's one sort of semi-poached eggs with really perfect hollandaise sauce, a bit of asparagus on one slice of perfectly done French toast on a sort of smallish plate. It's not a massive great big plate of eggs and you think I can't eat anything else.
I was about to say, because I mean, for me, if that was a normal portion, done. I'm done. For the day.
For the big portions. Yes, and you can't do it. So you choose from sort of one of, I think it's 2, 4, 6, or 7 of these egg things. Then you go on to choose as many as you like of their signature plates, and there's 16 of them, and very, very nice. We had sort of, there's a very nice mix between seafood, meat, and vegetarian as well. So we had the chicken Caesar salad, we had the tuna ceviche, so there's a raw element as well, and we also had... this catch of the day that he recommended that we had was like a sea bass. Now, again, what was amazing about this was the portion sizes. So they were sort of side plate type portions, but perfectly done as though that was a main course. So you're having 3 or 4 different main courses. You've got perfect food cooked very, very well to a high quality in sizes that enable you to have a proper amount of food.
This reminds me of this. This is really going back in the day, but years ago at the Aviation Club, they used to have a place called The Cellar.
Okay.
And I remember that.
And the brilliant thing about their brunch on a Saturday or on a Friday, I think it was on both days of the weekend, is the portion size, perfectly sized. Because we've spoken about this before in the past, Monica, brunch is almost giving you too much food and then it just gets wasted.
It's wasted and it's off-putting as well. And you think, oh, I'll just have 2 spoons of that. And I'm not value for money because I'm not trying XYZ that's on the menu. So here you get it's not too much of a selection. The other thing I really liked about it, I mean, what's one thing that puts you off about buffets or buffet brunches?
Portion size.
Okay, Mark?
Sometimes it can look a bit of a mess, can't they?
Because it's all laid out.
Yeah, because everybody's piled into
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the other thing is, if you're with, I mean, there are only two of us at this one, but if you're with a table of sort of 4, 5, 6 people, everyone's up and down all the time. Do you find that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll just go off to get a bit more salad. Oh, I've had my salad. I'll just go off to get my hot starter or whatever it is. And nobody's actually sitting down together. So the other fantastic thing about this brunch, and I think this is a bit of a trend, actually, toward brunches, and the ones who take it on board, I think, are going to do well with it. Everything is brought to you on your order. So there must be quite a lot of semi-prepared stuff that's done in the kitchen. But it is so nice sitting at a table, taking in the vibe, ordering what you want, and it coming to you quite quickly without you having to sort of get up and, as you say, look at a large amount of food and often jostle for position with other, you know, greedy diners or whatever. So I like that.
You caught up with the manager there?
I did. He's not the manager, Mark. Okay. His title is creative director.
Okay.
And he came up with this whole concept. I haven't told you about
this. Consider yourself.
I hadn't spoken to creative director before. I've read about creative director. His name is Sofiane. I didn't want to ask how to spell it.
Right.
But his name is Sofiane. He's creative director. And he came up with a concept of this Réveil Brunch 105 at La Cantine.
The whole concept of this special brunch is to find yourself in a Parisian bedroom. As you might have seen, we completely changed up the setup of the restaurant. So at the entrance, you have, in the middle of the restaurant, you have a bed with pillows. On every table you have alarm clocks. You have tables which are not called tables but rooms, and I think also the staff uniform is also giving a real feel because they're wearing pyjamas. The music also is completely different from what we can have normally. We're really into something more trendier, like more sharp. Really to show that La Cantine is really elegant and very hip place.
With the Vion Ross being played in the background there.
Yeah, that's what it was. Right,
and the staff are wearing pyjamas.
The serving staff, so that's the waiters, a level of waiter, is wearing black satin pyjamas with a black three-quarter length dressing gown and black shades. Now, how cool is that? Yeah. You can see why he is creative director. Yeah. And then the ladies, the waitresses, also wearing that. The other thing that makes it very French is I sort of spoke to two or three serving staff. They all speak in French, and some of them were actually French as well. Mm. So that sort of added to the authenticity of it. Yeah. And there's a giant double bed laid out on one side with the Financial Times and different newspapers and a sort of tray. So that kind of all added to the whole ambience. And I think if you'd told me about all of this, and would you say, would it work? I'd have said, don't be ridiculous. But it actually is, it does all hang together very, very well.
So you can go and get your head down in between courses.
Well, no, I wouldn't do that. It's Dubai, Mark. It is Dubai. And I was speaking to some friends about it, and they said, oh, so we do a go in our pyjamas. I said, absolutely not. You do not go in your pyjamas. You won't be let in.
Yeah, and I don't even like lying down on the beds in IKEA, to be honest with you. So yeah. I don't think I do that. But I do like the concept and the idea.
It's great. I recommend it, and I would go again. Yeah.
I'd go out in my pyjamas any day.
Yeah, I bet you would, yeah. That was Monica. That's earlier on this year that she actually did that review. I got my hand slapped there, didn't I, for getting his title wrong.
I love listening back to these.
Creative director. Mark, he's not the general. He's a creative director. And everybody knows that.
Get it right, Lloyd.
Yeah, get it right. Interesting what she was saying about portion sizes, wasn't it? I mean, does that put you off if you've got too much food on a plate?
Never. No. You know me. I like a lot of food.
Yeah. Yeah, it can make you feel a bit sickly. I think there's a bit too much.
If it's good food, I don't mind.
No.
If it's kind of trashy food, yeah. I wouldn't want it.
You don't like it. Well, that was one place for breakfast then. And well, at breakfast, of course, and I suppose you could go for dinner as well in your pyjamas. We've got some more food news coming up with Monica.
Food. The news and the reviews.
Right, we've been talking to Monica, who's been whizzing us around town, looking at some great options when it comes to dining. Breakfast has been very much on the menu this morning, as Steph is a big fan of breakfast. And Monica's got another one to throw at us.
It is your favourite, and I think your Instagrams is something like Steph the Breakfast Monster, or Steph
that's
at
me.
The Breakfast Monster.
That's
yes,
me.
That should give everyone a clue. Well, you'll be delighted with the next thing that we're talking about, Steph. It doesn't only serve breakfast, but we did a breakfast review. So a very, very interesting restaurant. And are you still on your vegan kick, Steph?
I am on the vegan kick probably one day a week.
Right, okay.
So I've slipped more into the vegetarian world.
Okay, so that's fine. So, well, maybe eggs are not vegan, are they? So you could sort of maybe add...
I've always kept the eggs. Oh, I don't believe in that.
All right, yeah, so it's that kind of vegan. Okay, so we had breakfast at this very, very interesting and very nice new cafe. It was called The Menagerie. Any
See, I
idea?
I don't love that name.
Why do you not love the name?
Because...
What does it remind you of?
A birdcage.
No, it's like menagerie. Doesn't it mean William food or French. Something in French? Or
isn't menagerie a birdcage?
Probably. I think it's like connected to a play, wasn't it, by Tennessee Williams or something?
I don't know.
Something connected to that.
I just don't love the name.
You're not thinking of aviary, which is a place where they keep birds, Mark.
Yes, but the menagerie is...
Menagerie is cage-ish.
Let us know, listenerpedia, that's what you call it, isn't it? What does menagerie mean? Could be the word of the week.
They could have called it menagerie because of where it's located. It's the menagerie in Merdiff, so maybe it sort of slips off the tongue a little easily. So
menagerie in Merdiff.
I'll meet you at the menagerie in Merdiff, so it's MMM. Monica at the menagerie in Merdiff, having breakfast. But what is very interesting about this restaurant is it's actually owned by a local family, and I think I'm allowed to say they actually lost a family member due to ill health. So what they decided to do was to open a restaurant that wasn't your sort of normal, oh, here's the red velvet cupcake, here's the sort of burger, all the rest of it. Let's have some really healthy food. And to that end, they've actually got a very talented chef called Charlie, who I think we're going to hear from in a minute. He's come all the way over from Soho, and he worked at sort of quite high-end restaurants, but he really knows his stuff. So you've got things like vegan blueberry cheesecakes, you've got lots of good cold-pressed juice, you've got something that I had, which was called portobello on toast. Now this is, get this, cucumber hummus, smashed peas, vegan feta cheese, zucchini, lime and flaked almonds. And your poached eggs, depending on what sort of vegan you are optional. And I really, really like that. I liked all the food there. You can have all sorts of teas and coffees with all sort of different milks, and you don't have to do dairy. So you can do the dairy-free, gluten-free.
This place, it can't fail, can it? There's Murdiff has nothing like it.
I tell you what, you don't know where it is yet, so I'll come to that in a minute. But we got there just before 10 o'clock. We sort of had a look around, sat down, started eating and ordering. By 10:30, the place was full. And don't bother going at the weekend because I don't think you're going to get a place. So it's hugely successful with mostly local people. That's probably possibly to do with where it's located, which I'll tell you about in a minute. Are we going to hear from Charlie himself?
Mm. We certainly are.
Well, I've trained in London. I worked here since 2000. Primarily in fancy a la carte restaurants, fine dining. But growing up in farming, I wanted to really go back to my roots, make it organic, keep it simple, good for the gut.
And what sort of things can we expect to eat at Menagerie?
Well, raw cheesecakes, fermented, so great for digestion. Amazing fillet steaks with kimchi, so we're adding a little bit of something different to it. Pickling here, fermentation, dehydrating, all techniques that you can learn at home to aid with your health and your wealth, really.
I wonder if everyone's going through the same mind journey as me right now.
Mm.
Where before I was like, I don't really like the name. And now I'm like, I definitely want to go, where is it?
And by the way, a menagerie, a collection of animals.
Ah, so there you are, collection
that's
of animals.
That's what it means, it's a French word.
That's interesting.
Collection of animals, that's really interesting, considering there's a lot of vegan stuff in there.
Well, it's a,
should the,
it's
be the anti-menagerie.
No, it's not only vegan, because you hear Charlie, he said that they've also got
steak.
Fillet steaks, and they've got eggs, and they may do things with salmon as well, but it's all sort of organic.
Oh, like, menagerie's perfect then.
Yeah, so menagerie's fine.
Yeah, we love
now,
it.
Now, where is it in Murdiff? Now, this is very, very, very important. A warning, if you do not have GPS on your car, do not go and do not even attempt to go and try and find Menagerie. So Menagerie is housed...
Challenge set.
Okay, you're on. You're on for that. We'll do a blog on that. I luckily did go with a friend who drove me there who was very good with her GPS. But when we say Murdiff, and if I said a mall in Murdiff, what would you think of?
I would...
Most people think of the same one of two malls, I think.
Yes, there's the big Murdiff City Centre.
Big MCC, Murdiff City Centre.
There's the
absolutely.
Little mall
the
that
one
has...
The one there before, Uptown Murdiff?
No. There's another little mall.
Called...
Opposite Mushroom Park, sort of, and they serve sushi into the theatre, which is really noisy because they wrap it in plastic bags.
Okay, I've never heard of this place. I obviously have to yet to venture.
This is not that one.
No, it's not either of those ones, and nor is it Uptown Murdiff, but it's not too far from there. It's called Murdiff 35. It's a brand new mall, and it's got, as far as I can tell, just healthy sort of eateries in there. So they've got a new Jones the Grocer in there. They've got this Menagerie Cafe in there. They have a sort of Japanese cafe in there. They've got the organic shop in there, which hasn't got a cafe as yet, but it may do. Quite a small mall on two floors, and they've also got a beautiful florist's shop as well, which, as far as I can tell, only sells orchids, and a beautiful gifting shop. So, and it's in a very, very residential area. Now, I cannot even begin to tell you how to get there.
Can I just say, people of Murdiff, you are very naughty for keeping this to yourself for so long.
We went on that morning that it sort of poured with rain, and it kind of slightly stopped raining, so we were slightly worried. But literally, it is straight left, right, right, right again, left, behind there, and you're in the middle of a completely residential area. But you can kind of see, I think, within spitting distance, the Uptown Murdiff thing. But don't take that as a landmark. Put it into your GPS, Murdiff 35. They've got a beautiful Instagram, absolutely gorgeous. I've put a couple of things on my Instagram as well.
So what does a restaurant look like? Because I'm not that keen on going to cafes and malls.
Oh, it's nothing like a cafe in a mall because the mall is so small. It's a very modern, contemporary sort of cafe with large grey chairs and modern seating arrangements and a little bit of an outside as well. It's nothing like a cafe in a mall. You don't feel like you're walking into a mall at all.
All right, let us know if you've been to check this place out. Any Murdiff people, we can talk about it now because it's out there.
Yeah, do.
You can't keep it a secret anymore.
I would love to go again, but you know, I don't think I'd go all the way there knowing where it is for where I am, based in the Arabian Ranches, to be honest with you. But I'm glad I went there once to try it.
I'm going to go from downtown because I used to live in Murdiff and I do go to Mushroom Park quite a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that might be quite a good little breakfast spot before you go to the park.
You can go and do your adventure thing, can't you?
Yeah, but don't, you go, do get there sort of early so you get a place. Yeah, because it is busy.
Menagerie, and I haven't tried it yet. I'm so glad we re-listened to that because it's reminded me.
Yeah, back in your mind again. Yeah.
Yeah.